Welcome to Season 5 of the Blue Jeans Christian Podcast, where we take the powerful Word of God and make it practical and relevant to your daily life, and especially to your job. When you're at work, or at the job site, or at a restaurant, or a store, do you see people that are withered? Withered people have lost vitality. So we probably don't see withered people in church, or do we? Thank you for listening to episode 157 on the Blue Jeans Christian Podcast. We're in season 5, and we're going to talk a little bit about withered people today. This is a topic that few people talk about, but I think we should, because Jesus does. The Bible mentions withered a lot. And I got kind of hung up on that word when I started seeing people who just seem to have lost vitality, who no longer have a purpose or force about them. They just don't seem fresh and energetic. Now, as you know, we traveled around in the winters, where it's not cold and snowy anyway. I do a lot of speaking in churches, and I do the seminar on how to work in a way that brings glory to God and improves your job and your situation in your career. So when traveling around, I get to see a lot of different cities and towns and areas around the South and Southwest, and I notice a lot of people that I would consider withered. That's just my explanation. I don't know if it's correct or not, but when I did look up that word, it means to lose vitality, to lose force, to lose freshness, to lose hope or purpose, or to shrivel up or away from the responsibilities and duties that people have in society. Now, there are areas of the country that seem to have more of that than other areas, but still, I would say it's everywhere. And it's really sad, because those of us who are Christians know that we are not supposed to be withered. And we're to reach the people who are withered and share the love of Christ with them. And why I say that is because I was reading in John 15 the other day, and I saw that word withered right there. And I just sat back and started thinking about that and looking up that word withered in other places in Scripture. And that's what I'm going to talk about in this episode today. And I want to ask you, are you withered? I hope not. I hope that there are people in your church who are not withered, but they might be, because I see a lot of people who are different at church than they are during the rest of the week. They put on some sort of phony face at work and have this fake smile, and yet I see them out in public and they don't have that. They're different. They're sad. They're troubled. They're frustrated. They're tired and withered. I'm going to read this passage from John 15. It's verses 1 through 11. So follow along with me in your Bible if you have, or listen while you're driving or out for a jog or something. This is Jesus talking, and he's talking about the relationship of believers to Christ himself. He says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. One of my favorite analogies that Jesus gave us, just is so descriptive of how we are basically useless to Jesus without being connected to him. I did a podcast about that word abide, because that word abide is mentioned 10 times in this little passage here. It is so important. That's episode 144. If you would like to go back and listen to that, you'll learn a ton about what it means to abide in Jesus. Real quick snippet. Abide means to make your home or lodging. It's where you get rest. It's where you have food and get nutrients and get re-energized. It's where everything makes sense and matters. Abide in Jesus. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the word withered, which you probably heard right there in the middle. And it's really important, because if you're not abiding in Jesus, if you're not connected to him, you can wither. Jesus said, "He is the vine and we are the branches, and we are to produce fruit." So get that, okay? Fruit at one end of the branch, Jesus or the vine at the other, and we are sort of like just a conduit. We have to be connected to him to produce fruit that matters. And if you've been to my work seminar, you know that your job, your place of employment, your neighborhood, your softball team, where you mingle with people, is where your fruit is manifested, if I could use that word. It's where your fruit is displayed or made known. And the best place, of course, is your job. That's where the fruit that is produced by being connected to Jesus is useful, is used, and people are edified. People get to see Christ in you, and your job improves, your situation improves, because you're glorifying God where he wants you. Jesus has the nutrients that the fruit needs to grow. You just need to be connected to him to produce that fruit. Fruit is how others and us know we are true Christians. Now, as you probably know, there are different stages of fruit, but still they're all called fruit, even little ones that you can't really eat, but they do turn into something later, right? Which is kind of comforting to know, because some of us haven't been Christians for very long, but we still can have some noticeable fruit, at least on there somewhere growing. And if you'll notice in that passage, Jesus mentions fruit, and then he mentions more fruit, and then he mentions much fruit, which means it's a progression. The more fruit you produce is probably as a result of being a Christian longer. So as you mature, you get to produce more fruit. Jesus is the source of life also. Fruit comes from a live plant that is healthy and growing and doing well. And all of that really ends with the last sentence in this, which is, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Would you characterize your life as being full of joy? Remember in John 10:10, Jesus said that he has come so that you may have joy to the fullest and an abundant life. Do you? Now, don't confuse happiness and joy. Happiness can come and go. You can be happy, and then something will happen, and you can be sad, or your sports team wins, and you're happy, but when they lose, you're sad. But there should always be an underlying joy about you that comes from Christ and him knowing you and you knowing him, and also knowing that he and us win in the end. Even though times are tough and may get tougher, It's all for a purpose, and God says He'll be with us through it all, and we can gain strength to get through it from Him. So there are two types of branches, if you'll notice from this passage. Those who abide in Christ and produce fruit, that matters to the vine dresser, which is Father God, right? And that also means being useful to Jesus, being His representative here and accomplishing the tasks and the purpose that He has for us, that the vine dresser God has for us. There's a purpose, just like there's a purpose for these grapes that are growing, right? And the Father or the vine dresser prunes them and helps them grow, makes them grow even more and produce even more. But if they are unproductive, if there is no fruit, that's the other kind of branch, those that are withered, that are unproductive. And the Father or vine dresser has no use for them, and so He prunes them off and throws them into a fire. And believe me, He's talking about us too, people that are not productive for Christ, that are not producing fruit. People who may even be going to church and look like a Christian, but are fruitless, are considered withered and unproductive. Now, I thought of another passage where this term withered is used. It's in Matthew 21. I'm going to read it for you, verses 18 through 22. Now, in the morning, as Jesus returned to the city, He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, He came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now, this passage is actually a double entendre, because a fig tree that is withered and burned, withered away, is actually comes from several Old Testament passages describing the unproductiveness of Israel and the Jews, and us included too, because we get kind of grafted in and are called God's people too. Joel chapter 1, verse 7 is one of the places it says that he, now when it says he in this passage, it's talking about basically Satan and worldliness and outsiders, has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white and wither up and die, because they no longer bring glory to God. They try and glorify worldly things around them and have fallen away from the purpose God has for them. In Isaiah 27, verses 10 and 11, talks about the fortified city, which is Jerusalem, and that when they are withered, when its boughs are withered, they will be broken off, and the worldliness will come and set them on fire. For its people have no understanding. Therefore, God who made them will not have any mercy on them, and God who formed them will show them no favor. Now, when Jesus did this to that tree, that fig tree, it was a sign, if people would know their Old Testament, that judgment was going to come on Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Because even though they look like they are religious people, they're really not in a way that God wants. And they've basically turned away from God, and certainly did so by rejecting His Messiah. So that fig tree thing was a sign. Also, it's a sign for us too. Like it says in that Isaiah 27:11 passage, for God's people no longer have understanding. We might say we're Christians, but we really don't know Jesus. We don't understand scriptures. And therefore, God who made them will not have mercy on them. And the God who formed them will show them no favor. Boy, I hope that's not us. Let's make sure of that, okay? Let's make sure that's not referring to us. Let's continue to study our Bibles and continue to know Jesus and serve him and fulfill his purpose in us. And yes, we can know what our purpose is, what God has made us for. And that includes where he has placed us in our job. Now, Mark 11:20 talks about a little bit later when the disciples and Jesus came by that same fig tree that withered, right? Now, there's something about each of these times, you know, the first time when the tree was withered and then this time when they came by it again, that Jesus mentions both times. And I think it's extremely important. So let's pay attention. It talks about having faith and prayers being answered both of those times. So this is where I'm going to read Mark 11. We're going to start at 20 and go for a couple of verses. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you will have them." Now, we don't want to take this out of context, because faith in God yields fruitfulness. That's what this passage is about in John 15 and in this Mark passage. It's about being fruitful Christians, and that faith in God and faith that he is in control of what's going on in your life and faith that he will cause all things to work together for good, for his glory, and for your being more and more like Jesus. Faith and trust that he is doing what's best for you, even though there are ups and downs. And it's about your direction, not about your perfection in producing fruit. Are you striving toward producing fruit? Are you striving toward being more like Jesus and being his representative in your job and in your neighborhood? Having faith in God pleases God. That's what it says in Hebrews. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith in God yields fruitfulness. Mechanical ritual religion does not. And those mechanical ritual type of religious people are who are withered, and maybe even Jesus causes to wither away. Believe me, you don't want that. You want God's mercy, you want God's grace, and you want to produce fruit for Jesus. Jesus told another parable where the word withered is mentioned. It's in Matthew 13. It's the parable of the sower. It's where the sower spread seeds amongst different kinds of ground. And it says that those that fell among the rocky ground that had little dirt, they sprang up rather quickly, but then when the sun came out, they didn't have enough nutrients in the soil, and they are withered by the sun. In other words, when life got a bit difficult, they didn't have a strong enough foundation and not enough nutrients coming from Jesus that they withered away. Oh, they may have looked like Christians. They may have even said a prayer. But their roots were not planted deeply into the Word of God. It was more emotional feeling, not, or maybe even more just intellectual, but not both. Remember, we are to worship in spirit and truth, both intellectual and emotional. And both need to be deeply rooted in God's Word, which, as John chapter 1 established, Jesus is the Word of God. What about the people around us, though, that we see when we're at the store or the restaurant or driving around, that have no vitality, that have no hope, that have no joy, that get frustrated and angry over little things, that have to spout off their opinions in anger? Oh, boy, we all know what those people are like, right? Are you one of them, though? Are you a branch that is like that? That Jesus said will be withered and cut off and thrown into the fire? It starts by being connected to Jesus and truly knowing Him and learning about Him, reading the Bible and learning how He reacted to things and people and situations. Have you probably heard me say, I love the book of Mark because it's real fast, rapid fire type of things like that. Remember, Mark was a teenager at the time Jesus was there, but he was really enthralled with Jesus. And he was Peter's friend. He really looked up to Peter. And Peter encouraged him to write the book of Mark of all of those things that he kept notes on about Jesus. So that's a good one to read because it's quick. Because since we got to go to work, we don't have a lot of time. So it's nice to read something quick and edifying. And we think about as we're driving to work. And think about it in such a way that, how can I be like that today? How can I be like Jesus today at work when those similar situations pop up? When those people that are withered and worldly around me come around me and ask me why I'm a bit different, why I have an underlying joy, I have a peace, I have a compassion about them. We do so because we love others, don't we? And we want them to not be withered and cut off and thrown into the fire. So therefore, that is our purpose. One of our purposes, anyway, is to live and work and be around people in such a way that the love of Christ pours out of us. And that attribute, along with all the other attributes of Jesus, are clearly seen amongst us. Love, joy, peace, caring about them. The fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5 and even Ephesians 4 and 5. Did you get that? Fruit. What does fruit look like, Kevin? Well, the Bible tells us. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and be imitators of God, which is the same thing as saying be like Jesus, having His attributes. Being all good, having goodness, righteousness, you know, doing the right thing. Having the truth in you, which Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Have life about you too. Have a joy about you that people love to hang around you because you're joy and you love life and you have fun. You're fun to be around. And you have these attributes found in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means patience, putting up with suffering for a very long time. Kindness, goodness, doing good things for others and expect nothing in return. Faithfulness, oh, there's that again, huh? Being faithful to God and faithful to His purpose for you, even if it seems to be taking a long time. Gentleness, are you gentle with the people about you, especially when they say incorrect or bad things about you? And this last one is one of my favorites because we really have to work at this. Being self-disciplined. Having self-control. Having control over our reactions as well as our actions. And making sure that those are Christ-like. Because those are dictated by Jesus and his Holy Spirit in us, which we also learn from his word, the Bible, not by our worldly desires and lusts and self-centeredness. If we can be and do all of those fruits of the Spirit and attributes of Jesus, withered people will come to us and ask us about those types of things. Why we're a bit different. And then, as Peter said, we can share the love of Christ with them. Remember, they came to us and asked us, so we can, even at work. So make it your aim to not be withered yourself and to be such an influence on people who are withered that they don't want to be that anymore, and pull them out of the potential fire and into the loving arms of Jesus Christ, who will then say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." If you'd like for me to speak at your church or do the Improve Your Job seminar there, you can contact me at kevin@bluejeanschristian.com. And I can send some information to your pastor.